Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter. He is at Bowtie Sports. And, of course, our Sunday night TV show on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube, Talking Puck. That is at Talking Puck TV on Twitter as well. But, Jay, we have some news and some movement. It was released that, as far as the National Hockey League goes, the NHLPA and now the NHL Board of Governors have agreed on, shall we call it, a set of ground rules or a framework for trying to move forward into what they call Phase 2, which is allowing players to gather back in their cities and conduct limited workouts. So some news, some good news, and they're trying to move it forward. Jay, what are your initial thoughts when you take a look at the document or just what you've been reading, what you've been hearing?
Well, Tom, you know, I think when you take a look at the document that the NHL released or the news outlets have picked up on from the NHL, combine that with the news late last week from, you know, the AP and a lot of other places reported on the Players Association agreeing to move forward on talks on the 24-team playoff. I think these are two major steps forward towards getting teams back on the ice and getting hockey and getting the regular season completed. Biggest takeaway I have from this particular document that you're referencing, it requires teams to pony up, pay some money to bring players back into the host city. Also requires teams to spend money to open up the facility to house players who don't have full-time housing in that city. If the league is asking teams to spend money, in my opinion, they've got a very strong positive feeling that they're going to wind up getting games in. You know, teams are already looking at loss of revenue from games not played. They're looking at loss of sponsorship revenue. They're looking at loss of TV revenue. So to add extra expenses without a 90-95% chance of games being played to make up some of that revenue loss, I'm not sure the league would have taken that step unless they were really, really sure that games are going to come back.
And, you know, Jay, it's interesting because I feel as you do that the league must really feel pretty certain about this. They have a plan. And you know what? This document that came out, which, by the way, was released as a PDF, you can get it online. I have posted it through my Twitter at Callahan on Air. It can be a little dry on the read through, but as you go through, you see some of the things about the reimbursements, players gathering in the smaller groups, the max of six as far as workouts and all that. They want to start this sometime in June. They don't have a date, but maybe the beginning of June would be nice if they could pull it off, and they don't know how long this phase is going to last. So to your point, Jay, how long do you have to put those players up? How long will you have to house them? Also, some players may not be able to travel back and forth yet or don't feel comfortable doing so. There is a provision. Let's say that you're a Toronto-based player. I feel like the Leafs are going to get a lot of requests from guys, and that is permissible under this agreement. But so to your point, guys are going to be coming in, don't know how long they're going to be there, quarantined or isolated or however you want to phrase it, and clubs are shelling out the money for this. So yeah. If you're going to be one of the potential 24 teams that end up resuming the season, you must have some sort of idea that there'll be money to be made and you'll cover your costs. Or someone has convinced you that this is for the overall greater good and you need to do this in order to really, you may have to suck it up is what I'm saying for the game.
Yeah. You know, so again, like that's my biggest takeaway is if someone, whether it's at the team level, pushing it out, or whether it's from the league, trickling on down, someone is very convinced that revenue is there to be made from reopening this. Because, I mean, you know, we've seen furloughs, we've seen reduction of staff in, you know, in certain areas, or conversations of potential furloughs, reductions of staff, reductions of salary. So, you know, teams and sports organizations, like other businesses around the country, are not really in the business of spending money just to spend money. So with extra costs, again, like I see this as, if you're a sports fan, this is a very positive sign that the league is making a major, major step towards returning to play at some point this summer. As you kind of read through a lot of the specifics in there, my guess is, you know, you're probably talking maybe 2.5-3 weeks on the quick end before some sort of a formalized training camp takes place. But if you're a hockey fan, if you're a sports fan, if you're looking for live games coming back, I think that this is very much a positive move and a positive announcement.
And allow me to be just for a moment a crass business owner, at least in my thought process. Jay, you don't have to bring back ticket salespeople. You don't have to bring back all those game night staff. You don't, and some teams are paying them, or as you mentioned, some teams have furloughed employees. But these are all non-essential at this point. In phase two, you really only need your training staff. Coaches aren't even allowed to be anywhere near this, although they're still getting paid. But you know what? My point here is there's a lot of parts that don't necessarily work here, including media. Media is not welcome during this process as well. So really, this, I do agree, this is a positive step forward. It can still be managed cost for the teams to get it going. I totally regard it as a positive sign that the NHL wants to finish the season. I know we've been kind of used to the NBA leading, but lately the NBA has been very quiet. And I get the sense that the NHL has more urgency to finish its season than the NBA does. So, you know, if we end up handing out a Stanley Cup, who knows when? Let's say training camp doesn't start until towards the end of June. You get into July to open up the regular season. You figure it's going to take a couple of weeks to play through those best of fives and round robins. Maybe you play August and September for playoffs and hand out the Stanley Cup. Then you give teams a break. What is it, October, November? Do you start in December? Who knows? But at this point, this is the roadmap that we have. It's a framework, not really a roadmap, but a framework for moving it forward. And I think this shows, at the very least, Jay, that they're going to do everything they can to drop a puck and play some hockey here within the next couple of months.
And another thing I take away from this, Tom, is this also provides a strong starting document for how things may look at the start of the 2020-2021 season. So, you know, not only does this provide a lot of groundwork for getting things through the end of this season, handing out a Stanley Cup this year, but this, you know, this gives you a lot of information on where the league may be thinking heading into training camps next year. So, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about different playoff ramifications. Well, it appears like there may be 7 teams that are potentially eliminated from playoff contention. This document still is something that pertains to them, because this might be the way they're operating when training camps open at the start of next season.
And who knows again when that's going to be. But Jay, this has changed everything. COVID-19 has changed everything. The way teams are going to do business moving forward, especially on the medical side. And it's not going to change. And we have to realize that it's going to be a little bit more difficult to keep things clean and sterilized, but there's going to be a bigger fight to do so. And there is a realization that, look, this is the new reality. So I agree. I think that this is going to give us a look forward and a little bit of an idea of how things may look in the future. But my main concern right now, and I'll just ask you this by way of closing, is the NHL said sometime in June for this phase two, which is the moderate workouts, 6 players or less, and very light what they can do, very restrictive measures. Jay, when do you think we actually get back, let's say, to a training camp?
You know, there are a lot of references in this document to 14-day quarantines for, you know, for areas where testing is not readily available. If I'm kind of reading tea leaves, I'm going to guess that this document is kind of put out as a, okay, next 3, 4, 5 days, let's kind of digest this, and then let's put about a 14-day clock after that. So I'm thinking about 19, 20, 21 days from now, we're looking at some very serious conversations of opening a legitimate training camp type of situation.
All right, that's Jay Levin. He's at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. I'm Tom Callahan at Callahan on Air. Talking Puck, TalkingPuck.com, and of course our Sunday night TV show, Talking Puck TV, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, and that's on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. Jay and I are going to do more on this series. We're going to look at host cities. We're going to look at logistics and players and what they may be doing. We already did a series of podcasts last week about who may benefit the most. If you missed that, certainly feel free to go back and check it out. And you can pick us up anywhere you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, iTunes, maybe Google. We're all over the place. So thanks. Like it, subscribe it. We appreciate you being here. We'll be back next time with more Talking Puck.